The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Whirling a flower, the snake shows its tail. Mahakashyapa breaks into a smile, and people and devas are confounded. I love the way that so many of our koans have verses attached. And the koans, we're not often sure who wrote those. They have an oral life in tradition. And then a koan compiler writes them down and then often adds their own verses as a kind of commentary or an extension, or their own take on the story that they have edited and polished and transcribed. And all of the compilers have different styles, and Wu Men has several styles. And maybe the best known of his styles is this one that you just heard, a kind of a arch, ironic style, kind of cheeky. Twirling a flower, the snake shows its tail. Wait a second. I don't remember a snake in that koan. So what's this about? And our direct lineage ancestor, Robert Aiken Roshi, whose name you'll remember from our lineage dedication earlier today, he says in his commentary that when the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, that he was guarded by a huge nine-headed cobra, an Indian hydra, which is great to know and not really helpful here because we're not under the Bodhi tree. We are on Mount Gurdrakuta. And what Wu Men says is, twirling a flower, the snake shows its tail. So Shakyamuni Buddha is the one twirling the flower. How can he be a snake, this wise, benign teacher of ahimsa, of nonviolence? How is he also a poisonous reptile? So this gives us more to think about. I'm not sure about you, but I know when I encounter a snake in my walks, which is fairly frequent, if I don't hear it first, if I see it first, I can't resist a moment of pulling away. I'm startled for a bit. And every snake I encounter is harmless. Most of them are garter snakes. And I like them. I love seeing them. But something in me, something deep in our primate genetic heritage that saved many of our primate ancestors from a sudden death, something makes me pull my foot away, makes me startle and feel a little bit, just a little bit, for a moment, afraid. Emily Dickinson says in her poem about a snake that she never met this fellow, attended or alone, without a tighter breathing and zero at the bone. I love those lines. And interesting that when we did our one-word check-in yesterday, some of us talked about nervousness or fear, fearfulness, apprehension, as though there was some knowledge that the snake was in the room. If you've been around for a while, you've surely had the experience of seeing newcomers come to wherever you practice, very interested in Zen, very eager to try it out, doing an orientation, sitting and leaving and never coming back. Maybe they have seen the snake's tail and they're not attracted by that. What could be deadly about Zen practice? What could be, what is it that could make people pull back the way you pull your foot back when a snake unexpectedly crosses the trail right in front of you? Dogen says about his awakening experience, right? Shakyamuni saw the morning star, Mahakashyapa saw the twirling lotus. Dogen says about his experience, body and mind dropped away. Body and mind dropped away. Almost sounds like the effects of a cobra bite, doesn't it? There's some loss here. With awakening, there's something that doesn't pass through the gate. Hakuin, in our reading today, says self nature that is no nature. So we get this glimpse into the self, the way it actually is. And we see it dropping away. We see it fragmenting. We see that the self isn't what we thought it was at all, that its true nature is no nature. And yet, Mahakashyapa breaks into a smile. Mahakashyapa breaks into a smile, and people and devas are confounded. The universe is altered in that smile. Another interesting thing that Eiken Roshi tells us in his commentary is that the original is closer to Mahakashyapa's face cracked, or Mahakashyapa cracked his face. And we say, you know, cracked a smile in American idiom. And sometimes we say, this really made me crack up. And this is how I see Mahakashyapa. He's cracking up. And that smile, that laughter that he's trying to repress is what we feel when we're cracking up, and cracking up always implies we can't repress this humor, this joy. And so this too, discovery that self-nature is no nature is not a tragic discovery. It opens us up into a new kind of being in the world, being with the world, being with the 10,000 things. And all there is to do at that moment is to smile. So let's devote ourselves to helping each other crack up. Let's break down together. Let's crack up together. Let's find ourselves on that vast field of ice and just start to hear that first crack. Let it start to just shudder, fall apart as we break into a smile. Twirling a flower, the snake shows its tail. Mahakashyapa breaks into a smile, and people and devas are confounded. Thank you.